morning and I was printing things out, and one page would not print. I don't know what was going on with it, and when it did print, it was all faded, but all the other pages would print. It's like, I don't know, God miraculously was saying, cut this out of your sermon, but I can't do that. So I have to switch to my phone during one page of the sermon. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Let's bow. Father, we are so thankful for how Jesus went to the cross, Lord, and how because of Jesus' example, we too are called, Lord, to be kind and loving. And Lord, maybe it's even possible someday that we have to lay down our life for a family member, for a friend, just because of our how we were raised. Lord, we thank you for this day tomorrow that we remember those who have passed away, those who went before us, those who are awaiting a resurrection. Lord, help us to look to, whether it be soldiers or family members or whoever, Lord, that's passed away, and remember them tomorrow. Lord, help us help it to be an influence on our life, that our remembrance of not just Jesus but other people, Lord, would help us to be stronger in our faith. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last Monday in May has been designated by our country as Memorial Day. It used to be called, what, Decoration Day, right? In order to honor men and women who have died while serving in the United States military. Not only do we remember people that have died in our military, but we remember our family members who have passed, or friends, or a lot of people go to the funeral homes, or to the funeral cemeteries, and we take flowers or some kind of a symbol and we put it on the grave marker to remember those loved ones by. And I was always taught, I mean, I don't think there was ever a day in Memorial Day that went by that we weren't in the little town of Blanchard with a little parade, and a few little fire trucks we had would come down the road, and it was a short parade, but we were always, it was always instilled within us too. Whether it be at a football game or a ball game, whenever the national anthem is played, a Memorial Day parade, take off your hat, stand up. And I've said it, and I will say it again. I think we should be thankful for the nation we live in. Not always is everybody in this nation godly, but for the most part, we have freedom because of God. I think God was involved in the establishing of this nation. And I just think that there's a lot to be said for, you're not just honoring that flag, but you're honoring, saying, God, thank you for the freedom I enjoy here. People that go into the military, you go into the military and you take an oath. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and uniform code of the military justice, so help me God. These men and women volunteer to leave home and family to protect freedoms we treasure. Our freedom of religion, speech, and the right to keep and bear arms, and many more, are defended and protected by our military. Fred Thompson once said, this wouldn't be the land of the free if it were not the home of the brave. And like I said before, when I was a kid, we'd always go, and there was a few times I remember my own dad had to march in the parade. I shouldn't say he had to, but was asked to march in the parade. And I guess it's because of that, and not only that, but one of my favorite teachers when I was in fourth and fifth grade, he actually served in Vietnam, and we've had some pretty good talks from the time I got older till I saw him about three years ago. He's pretty old now, but he was quite an amazing teacher, and he had an effect on me when I was a kid when it comes to our loving our country and freedom. So I think it's good and proper for us to stand and honor the flag and thank God for our freedom. But at the same time, I think it's important for us to take this same mindset and go, not only am I thankful for my freedom, but I'm thankful for my salvation and freedom in Christ. That one man hung on a cross so that I could have life. Last time I preached this sermon, there would have been a U.S. flag right over here. And a Christian flag over here. And the numbers I would have used back then would have said that approximately 1.7 million people have died to keep this country free. But this flag, not only did Jesus die on a cross for our sins, but about 75 million people have died for that flag. We just aren't taught it. It's not something we talk about in history class in school. How many people were brutally murdered because they took on the name of Christ, Jesus, and would dare stand for him, not just his 12 disciples, but all the people that they've affected. And I said earlier, sometimes we think when we, like the song Nobody, sometimes people get to thinking there's something special. I hate it. Maybe the word hate's the wrong word, but I don't like to see people in their fancy robes with their big gold cross and their robe, their scarf or whatever you call that thing hanging down. Like there's something special. And maybe that's not their mentality. Maybe they've just been taught that you should wear something like this when you are in front of people. But there are those people in Christianity who think that they are something special. And they're not. He's something special. We're supposed to be bringing all the attention to him, not the other way around. So because Scripture does teach us, I don't think Scripture's silent about remembering things. It was back in December, I think Dan told me, if you go outside out the front door by the lighthouse, you'll see a pile of rocks. You guys remember putting those rocks out there? Anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you remember all those rocks you stacked up. And I think the lesson you learned had to come from Joshua when they crossed over the Jordan River. And as I read the text sometimes, I wonder if were those rocks put out in the river or out on the other shore of the river? Not sure. But the Bible tells us that those rocks were still there to this day when that was written. They were put there as remembrance. So you remember the day that, can you imagine the day when you're supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant off across the river? And the first guy holding the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to, I got to try to stay in camera, was supposed to step into that river and believe that God was just going to stop it. He's going to cause it to, just like the Red Sea, but they did. They started in and all of a sudden the river stopped and the waters backed up and they were able to walk that Ark across. But it was when they were in there, they picked up 12 stones and they used those stones as a remembrance to that event that day. So the Bible's not silent on remembering. Exodus 12, verse 13 and 14 says, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you. When I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, a day of remembrance. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. And today they still celebrate Passover. They remember the time that the death angel went over. Deuteronomy 9:27 continues on and says, remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not regard the stubbornness of this people or their wickedness or their sin. And of course, we can go into Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter, the faith chapter of the Bible, that talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how God is going to, the scripture tells us that God did not, that none of those people were saved, but God, none of those people ever received the reward, the perfect reward, but God has provided something better, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So God tells us over and over again to remember these people, remember these events. And I think we can carry that down now from not just remembering Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and those men of faith, but we can look back to Jesus, what he did willingly on a cross. This is where I have to get my phone out for the missing page. This is one of my favorite scriptures because Paul is writing in the book of Ephesians to people who were probably more Greek-minded and were brought up into the Greek mythology, and they started hearing this message about this Jesus, these Gentiles that he's writing to. And he says to them in verse 11, 12, and 13, Ephesians chapter 2. Hold on a minute. Hey guys, can you bring up at least the title of the sermon? Thank you. Therefore, remember, and I've said it before, and I'll always say it when I use this verse, the word remember in the Greek means don't forget. Don't forget that one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. You remember how these Jewish believers, used to call you guys the circumcision or the uncircumcision? Because there was kind of like you remember the dispute. The Jewish Christians said, hey, these guys should have been circumcised too. And we won't get into the specifics about that. By what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember, don't forget that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, because he died on a cross for everybody, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So Scripture isn't just telling us now about remembering about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Old Testament events and stuff like that. It's telling us to remember that before the message of Christ came to you, you didn't have any hope. God hadn't sent anybody to you yet. But God used Paul and Peter and others to go to the Gentiles, take the message to them. He even told some of his disciples, Jesus did, if you go into a city and they won't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Go on your way. Their blood's not on your hands anymore because they've rejected the message. 2 Timothy 2, verses 7 and 8 also tells us, think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember, he says to Timothy, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. I just thought of this as I was standing here. Paul refers to this in the scripture to my gospel. And I was talking to a lady online one time, and she hated the Apostle Paul. He wasn't one of Jesus' disciples. He wasn't an apostle. He even says in Scripture, according to my gospel, like Paul had his own gospel. I said, you confuse me. To me, what Paul has said is, if I'm reiterating something out of the Bible, and this isn't a Bible, it's a songbook, and I say, according to my Bible, Jesus died for my sins. It's not my Bible. It's not anything different from anybody else's Bible, nor is Paul's gospel any different than your gospel. He's just making it his own. He's saying, this is from what I believe, what I've been taught by Jesus, because the Bible tells us that Jesus went to see Paul in the desert of Arabia. And for some reason, I started to get off on that side note, this lady was very upset with Paul and didn't ever look at anything he wrote as it was intended for the Bible. So this kind of takes us back to our opening text. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that is pretty much a direct reference, I believe, to Jesus willingly giving his life on a cross. It says, we have seen two examples of sacrificial love, and now we have, and how the effect on the greatest act of sacrificial love provided by Jesus on our behalf. Jesus laid down his life for his friends and sacrificed himself for us. I know it sounds like a simple message, but because of that, I mean, I always use the example, I guess, of some of the songs that I've listened to as a truck driver's kid about the, even though I don't believe in ghosts, about Phantom 309 and the ghost truck driver that picked up a hitchhiker. And then when he dropped the hitchhiker off, he goes in to get a cup of coffee on Big Joe. And the whole restaurant got quiet because Big Joe died 10 years ago in a horrible crash. But if we actually knew true stories of a truck driver who he left the road because he was about ready to run into a busload of kids, and instead of taking their lives with his truck, he gave his own. If we knew of a real situation where that really happened, we'd be telling everybody about the Big Joe and how we knew that guy. Man, he was a great guy. And I think we can say the same about Jesus. We should believe without a shadow of a doubt that there was really a man who gave himself on a cross willingly. I've said it before that these disciples were told to shut their mouths after Jesus died. Quit talking about this Jesus. But they've seen him with their own eyes. How could they quit talking about something they've already seen? How could they quit talking about a Jesus they've seen come back from the dead, presented themselves to them, taught them for 40 more days after he died? How could they stop talking about that? Because if they never did see him again, they would have shut their mouths 2,000 years ago. We never would have heard another word about Jesus. But because they didn't shut their mouths, they died for their faith. We can know that Jesus literally died on a cross and come back to life again. The question is, are we going to shut our mouths today, or are we going to keep talking? When I wrote this sermon, I just happened to be online looking for examples or stories, and I come across one that really touched my heart. This is a statue of a dog in Edinburgh, Scotland. I want to read you a little story. On the 15th of February, 1858, in the city of Edinburgh, a local man named John Gray died of tuberculosis. Gray was better known as Odd Jock, and his death, he was buried in Old Greyfriars Churchyard. Bobby, a wise Scar Terrier, belonged to John, who worked for Edinburgh City Police as a night watchman. And the two of them had been virtually inseparable for approximately 2 years. How many of you guys have a dog or have had a dog? Okay. Bobby led his master's funeral procession to the grave at Greyfriars Cemetery, and later, when he tried to stay at the graveside, he was sent away by the caretaker. The little dog returned and refused to leave, whatever the weather conditions. Despite the combined efforts of the keeper of the kirkyard, Odd Jock's family, and some of the local people, Bobby refused to be enticed away from the grave for any length of time, and he touched the hearts of the local residents. Although dogs were not allowed in the graveyard, the people rallied around and built a shelter for Bobby, and there he stayed, guarding Odd Jock's cemetery plot, guarding his resting place for 14 years. Bobby lay on the grave, leaving only for food. As the firing of the 1 o'clock guns sounded from Edinburgh Castle each day, he would leave his post and run to the eating house, which he had frequented with Og Jock. And then he would return to Jock's grave. The news of Bobby's loyalty soon spread, and people would travel from far and wide to see him. Crowds would gather for the firing of the gun to see him run for his midday meal. A law was passed in 1867 that all dogs without a license would be destroyed. In 1867, the Lord Provost of Edinburgh presented Bobby with a new collar, which is now on display. The collar was a brass plate inscribed with the words, "Greyfriars Bobby," from the Lord Provost, 1867, licensed. Bobby was well cared for by the people of Edinburg, but he still remained loyal to his master. And he continued to stay faithful, guarding Aud Jock's grave for all those years until he died on January 14th, 1872, age 16. Bobby was buried in the Greyfriars Kirkyard, just 75 yards away from his master's grave. He has his very own red granite headstone, which was unveiled by the Royal Highness of Duke of Gloucester in 1981. We can learn a lot from a dog. I've had many dogs in my life, and I could tell you how each one was gone and what the circumstances were. But every dog I've ever had has always been a loving dog. I've never had a dog that was a biter. They've been amazing to have around. Of course, I've outlived them, so they're not by my graveyard, by my resting place anywhere. But it's amazing to read a true story about a dog who lay there for 14 years and guarded the plot where his master was laid and only left to go eat now and then. And how people came from miles around to see this event. And it makes you wonder, when the Bible talks about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, how many of us take our faith that seriously? To the point that we remember every day what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's evident from the way we live our life to others around us that you love the Lord, because it shows in your daily living. I haven't always been in that place. I hope I'm in that place now and stay in that place. But sometimes it's easy to get off the right road and get on the wrong path. So as you go in tomorrow and you're not in school and you're thinking about Memorial Day and the price they paid, please think about Jesus and the price paid on a cross and how it outweighs all the lives ever paid for the freedom of this country. We're going to close with the song 364, Jesus is the Joy of Living. So when you get up every morning and you think about what you got to go on that day, think about this: Jesus is the joy of living.